You know, I walked into an office the other day and they had their 5 values up on the wall and it irritated me so much. What were they, Eric? Guess. Like, let's guess. Innovative, integrity, respect. And I just thought to myself, what a waste of time. And I thought to myself, what would be better to put up there? And do you know what would be better? One sentence.
We don't ever deeply internalize the incredible wisdom and the incredible insights around us. You quickly see it on social media and you get that hit of dopamine because you feel like, oh, I've learned something new. But it never pulls through into your behavior or it never changes your thinking, and therefore you actually haven't learned anything.
Hello, 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 and welcome to the Expansive Podcast, a podcast that my co-host Eric Kruger and I record every week, where we talk about everything to become more expansive, both in your personal life as well as your business life. My name is John Sarnay. I am an author, a keynote speaker, and a future strategist. I'm always joined by ever competitive, bat-playing, golf-playing co-host Eric Kruger, who is a team specialist, building teams and organizations, a keynote speaker, and a best-selling author. Welcome to this week's Expansive Podcast. Eric, how are you, my friend?
Hey, brother. That was a very, very well-delivered introduction.
Was it? For the listeners that are listening, we used to have pre-written and like rehearsed. Now we're just winging it. I think they're even better winging it. Anyway, how are you?
Yeah, I've been good, thank you. Traveled to Joburg this week for some work. Came back on Friday. Mm. It's always so interesting for me now traveling to Joburg as a place to visit versus a place I used to live for the past 12, 13, 14 years. And so you get there, shuttles. Like it's literally just like land at the airport, shuttle to the airport, okay, shuttle to the hotel, do the work, shuttle back to the airport, fly out. And it's like, it's such a weird feeling, but I'm really enjoying it. It's been going really well. What's been happening on your side?
Yeah, good. I call that process the hit and run. It's a hit and run. Yeah, exactly. Like my friends in Joburg always say to me, when let's visit, you know, I'm like, guy, honestly, I'm like in, I'm out. You know, I'm back to Cape Town. In fact, you know, I'm moving back to Dubai in the beginning of October, and I've got like 4 or 5 days left in South Africa. And Anita, my business manager, is like, okay, so where do you want to be? I'm like, I'm going to go back to Cape Town. And I'm like, she says, but we have to book a hotel. In Joburg, you can stay for free. You know, you got your friend's house. And I'm like, no, I'm going back to Cape Town. I'm going to stay in a hotel. I'm just going to chill my last few 5 days in Cape Town and then make my way to Dubai. But all our friends in Joburg, look, it's a wonderful place to move and shake. But once you've experienced something outside Joburg, you just realize there is a lot more to life than just the rat race. And that's what it is.
So you're in Cape Town right now. Are you in a hotel right now?
No. I'm staying with my friend Joe in this 6-bedroom mansion in Camps Bay. And this week, actually, I'm in a game farm. I'm going up to a game farm to work with some clients, which I'm really looking forward to. Yeah. But only a few more weeks left in South Africa.
Mm. I feel like you're dodging paddle. I feel like I've been saying now we should play a few times, but I feel like you're dodging me on this.
Look, I haven't been playing at all myself, so it's not like I've been playing and dodging you. Okay. No, I just haven't been playing. So yes, I'm absolutely keen. I don't see you booking any courts either, so I'm not seeing any invites. Like, you just chirp, chirp, chirp. I don't get an invite for, look, here's a book court. Let's meet. So yeah, if you want to play, you're the one who wants to keep challenging. I'm not. Like, I don't know what you've got in your, you've got ants in your pants that you want to beat me at paddle, but that's fine. I'm happy to give it a go. But we got an exciting episode this week. Eric has got a few things that are exciting him. And, you know, every week we look for the latest, greatest things that we're researching and thinking about. And I am right now deep in Gabor Mate's work. I've signed up for a course and working on all sorts of things around trauma and addictions and what causes them and just being fascinated about that. So we'll definitely do a podcast or three around Gabor Mate's work. If you don't know who he is, Dr. Gabor Mate, check him out. As profound a teacher as I would say Dr. Joe Dispenza is. So check him out. But today is Eric's day. And Eric, please lead us into an expansive future.
Yeah, listen. So, I mean, I'm very excited about the Gabor Mate episode. I think it's going to be great. I can't wait for you to come and unpack that for us. Today's episode can just be called Eric's Brain Dump, because you know, every week as I go through the week, I'm collecting quotes or ideas, and I capture most of this in Evernote. And the thing is, there's just so much happening at the moment. The only way that you get to actually remember it is that you have to have some place to keep it and to can reflect back on it, because I've spoken about this before. Otherwise, we end up thinking in glances, meaning that we don't ever deeply internalize the incredible wisdom and the incredible insights around us. It's, you know, you quickly see it on social media and you get that hit of dopamine because you feel like, oh, I've learned something new, but it never pulls through into your behavior, or it never changes your thinking, and therefore you actually haven't learned anything. And I find the only process really for me to learn new things is that I have to capture it, I have to revisit it, and I have to spend some time thinking, how do I apply this to my life? That's kind of just a by the by, but what I'm going to share with you here are some things that I've captured over the past maybe week or two that I think is just interesting, things about how the future is changing, ideas about work, interesting quotes, things about teams, things about marketing. It's like a bit all over the show. So it's a
mishmash of Eric's
week. It's a buffet. So where I want to start is we've been speaking a lot about AI on the show, and the fact that AI is probably one of the biggest drivers of change in the world that we are seeing at the moment. And I just wanted to encourage people again to go and play around with it a bit, because it's actually available to everyone. So there's DALL-E 2, then there's Midjourney, and then there's a new one called Stable Diffusion. And with all of these, you know, you get free access to it. Some of them you have to wait a little bit to get onto a waiting list. But once you're on the list and once you get access, you go and put in prompts into this machine and it spits out something for you on the other side. And what we've seen over the past few weeks has been incredible. So, I mean, you probably saw the news that an AI won an art competition.
Yeah.
You saw that, right?
Yeah, I did.
And obviously people are up in arms about this because,
of course,
for many people, they are saying, well, AI lacks soul, you know. But it's weird because, I don't know if you've seen this, there are almost two different camps. There's the camp that says, oh, AI art's amazing, but it lacks soul. And then there's the other camp who, and it's almost like the people who have no creativity. You know, they go and put stuff into like DALL-E 2. They get this amazing rendered artwork. And then they go, look how profound this is. I entered, you know, the voice of angels into the future. Yeah. And then like the AI generates this like random thing. And they go, wow, it's so profound.
So
it's interesting for me to see how people are already interacting with this and how it's becoming more and more mainstream. And then, like, just some of the applications. So obviously, people have been generating porn with it. I saw that there's a, obviously, that's the first thing people start doing.
It hasn't even crossed my mind. I'm so proud of myself, but okay,
I was just going down this AI rabbit hole, and this whole sub community called furries, which are, as far as I understand, like people kind of crossbred with like foxes and jackals and whatever.
Oh, right. Wow.
Yeah. And people, and there's a, like just archives and archives of people generating AI content regarding furries. Like it's obviously like a thing.
A fetish, of sorts. Yeah.
And then what's also been interesting for me is how people have used it for extending artwork. So they take the Mona Lisa, for example, and then the AI goes and fills in what the rest of the room would look like using that exact same process and the exact same like textures and feel of the painting. And I just keep thinking, we are in iteration like two here, essentially. You know, where do we end up by iteration 10? The best one that I saw actually was a guy took the descriptions that J.K. Rowling had from Harry Potter in her books. And she took the descriptions that she gave of like how Dumbledore would look, and he fed that into an AI. And you will see the incredible images that came out of that. And it's exactly what we were saying a while ago, right? Is that if you are the new J.K. Rowling or the new Tolkien, you know, and you write a Lord of the Rings or a Harry Potter, by the time you're done, AI would have generated for you exactly what that character looks like. It brings it to life in real time as you write it. And then by the time you're done, you just press a button and it takes all of that dialogue, all of the scenes, it creates all of it and it turns all of it into a movie for you. Like it's incredible. I mean, the future that we are heading into is, and if you are in graphic design, if you are in, like, it's a, you need to be thinking about what you're going to be doing.
Can I just, you know, I've been thinking a lot about this, and it is incredible where we're going. But remember that when we only relied on manpower, horsepower, and cow power, and then all of a sudden we have engines with 420 horsepower being pushed out. Imagine that person that always relied on them pushing one cow in a field being told that there's a steam engine that does 80 of him and 150 of his cow. That whole village must have been up in arms thinking, what are we going to do? How are we going to survive? What is going to happen to us as a human population? It was unimaginable what could come. And I think it's exactly the same state right now, is that we have relied on our own imagination and creativity to come up with X, Y, and Z. And now all of a sudden that's all being wiped out, just like the steam engine power, the combustion engine, the nuclear engine. I mean, you can't compare human power just to a car, let alone a nuclear powered engine, right? So I think as far as it's very exciting, it can also be very scary. And every time I start getting into a loop of being scared, I just remind myself that we're already living in a world that scared the shit out of many people 80 years ago. You know what I mean? Like 80 years ago, people were in panic that this was happening, and we're fine. We just got along with it.
Yeah.
So I think we're in the same space now. So if anybody listeners are panicking, look, it's happened in many different guises, and we're very much part and parcel of, you know, when somebody, that artist that was complaining about the art winning a competition, my first response was, did you drive your car today? Are you not complaining that you're driving a car and it took 420 horsepower? Like, you're okay with that invention, but now this invention, you're not. You can't. You've got to be fluid about all of these things that are coming forward. You know? Anyway, go on to your next.
I'm so with you. And I think one of the most exciting things for me is that the less that you have to worry about that, the more you get to focus on the things that matter.
Exactly.
Or that you. And so I'm actually already frustrated that I can't go to a site and just say, you know, create me all of my slides for my keynote. Here's all the text. Create something incredible for me. Or I want my website updated. Here are the main like info sections I want. Go and create it for me. But it's coming. That's going to be around the corner. That AI is going to generate your website for you, your marketing for you, your keynotes for you, all of it.
I think it's not even going to create it for you. It's going to suggest it to you.
Yeah.
I don't even think. I think creation is so 20 minutes ago. And if you look at the numbers of Netflix dropping like wildfire fire, just dropping, and people are canceling all these subscriptions because there's so much choice. And the winner is the brands that are suggesting, you know, like the Spotify's. But okay, let's go to your next one.
All right. So that's number one. Number two is just a quick. I heard these two phrases, and I think you'll really like it. The one is fragile optimism, and the other one is agile optimism. So fragile optimism is when you are optimism is about a specific outcome. And of course, we know that things might get in the way. Like when we have a specific plan, then things get derailed. Life is very nonlinear. And so being explicitly tied to that outcome makes it a fragile way of looking at it. Whereas agile optimism is about the process. It's about saying, sure, like I have a general direction that I'm heading in, but I'm optimistic about my ability to invest in the process and in the effort of getting there. I don't have much more to say about that. Yeah, I don't have much more to say.
How much I love that. Oh my God, I'm typing it down actually.
I thought you would.
Love it. That is so good. Fragile optimism and agile optimism. Oh my God, that is gold. Well done. I love that.
Yeah. It's a pleasure. I put a little like bow on it for you because I know that like optimism is your shtick. So.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah, I love it. Okay, good one. Okay.
Cool. Number three. So we obviously talk a lot about the fact that, you know, because of our interest in Joe Dispenza's work and the idea that you have to live in the end state, meaning that you have to live with the feeling of what you want your life to look at or will look like. And especially if there's a discrepancy between where you are and where you want to be, they all kind of say the same thing. They all say, well, you have to get the feeling of living in that state, but today already. Mm-hmm. And I think the thing that we maybe do wrong is that we try and get there through our minds alone. And what we have to do is also think about what can I just do in my day that's going to make me feel like I'm already there. And I remember many, many years ago when I started down this path, essentially, like, let's say about 2011, 2012, Martinus would always ask me, so one of my friends, he would ask me, like, what does your ideal day look like? And I would go through this, like, day of, like, you know, this kind of meeting and this big keynote and this thing over the year, like, whatever. But it always started with, like, I go and have cappuccino at this amazing coffee shop first thing in the morning. Because that's just like, I have the freedom to go and do that. I don't have to rush to a specific place. And he said, well, can't you do that already? And I looked and I was like, actually, yes. Like, actually, I can do that. Like, I've put this into the future, but like, actually, yeah, I can go and have that coffee today. And so I've really started thinking a lot about what are the things that I can do today that's just going to make me feel good. And part of that, for example, for me is that I make sure I always prioritize my 12 to 1 with my pups. So I've actually booked that out of my calendar now. You can't book me for a meeting or for a coaching session or for a keynote at 12 to 1. That is time for me and my dogs to go to the park, to be refreshed, to be in the fresh air, to dress well, to drive the Porsche. Like, I know it sounds like weird, but like when you do these things, you know, it just, it makes you feel good. To make sure I meditate, to make sure I eat well. And so I've layered all of this in very specifically into my day and into my week to make sure that I'm not only relying on my mind to create that state, but I'm physically doing things that put me into that state.
Love it. Listening to Ray Kurzweil, do you know him? Singularity is near. Founder of Singularity University. Heads up one of the AI departments in Google. 86% of his predictions have come true from his book he wrote in the 1990s. And he says that Singularity is at 2045, which is when computers become smarter than humans. And by 2029, you won't know whether you're speaking to a human or a computer. And he says that's all on track. But the Lex Fridman, the guy who's interviewing him, says, how do you think about the future? He says, I imagine the future I want, and then I write a speech accepting that future and presenting that future as it is. So now we're talking about a 75-year-old scientist that's using the law of attraction and the law of intention in a different way. So I think very much on the same mark as you. So very good. Like it. Well done.
Cool. Number four. So this pops up from time to time for me that I see people going on the internet ranting about soft skills. So we're making a bit of a transition to the world of work for a moment. People go on the internet and they rant about soft skills. And the thing that they always go on about is that we need to rename soft skills because we need to give it it should be called power skills, or it should be called core skills, or it should be called whatever. And I actually take some issue with that. And I think people misunderstand what's happening. When we say soft skills, we aren't saying that these skills are less important. Soft has no bearing on the importance of the skill. The other thing is that soft has nothing to do with the degree of difficulty of the skill. They go like, oh, but soft skills are so much harder. And soft has nothing to do with the degree of difficulty. When the term soft and hard skills were developed, it was developed in the military many, many years ago. And the way they differentiated was hard skills was your interaction with a machine, and soft skills was your interaction with a person. And so soft skills is actually the perfect way to think of it, because what do we need more than anything else when interacting with other people at the moment is softness. So I wish people would just get their minds recalibrated in the sense it's not degree of difficulty, it's not importance, it's simply about the attitude towards the skill, in my opinion.
Love it. It's like being analytical and wise. It's like we don't need more cleverness, we need some wisdom. We need some softness and patience rather than direction and action, which is always what we've been driving, right? Soft is almost like a patient approach rather than a directive approach that a machine needs.
Yeah.
I didn't know that about the military. You know, hard skills is with machinery, soft skills with humans. Very good. Jeez, I didn't know that. That's fantastic. Thank you for that. I see you're quite passionate about that one.
it pops up so often. And then, I don't know if this happens to you, but I look at the comments on LinkedIn. I saw this. I saw a comment on LinkedIn 2 days ago. I must have looked at that comment or that post for like 10 minutes deciding, am I going to post something? And then I formulate this thing in my head where I'm like going to attack the post, essentially, not attack the post, but like voice my opinion. And then I go, actually, I'm not interested. Like, I don't feel like I'll post it, but then they're going to make a rebuttal. Then I'm going to have to post on that. And like, I don't want to go through all of that.
Yeah.
But this lady essentially said, screw potential, just be happy with who you are. And I was like, No, like never screw potential, because yes, who you are might be good, but there's always the potential to be more. So why would you? And I was like, do I go and post that
I think both are true. But I think both are true. I think it depends what mood you're in. And I also think it just depends where you are in your process of development. Yeah. You know what I mean? Sometimes you just want to be happy with where you are. It's also I think it's also exhausting every time you switch on social media to tell you need to be better. It's like, you need to pitch into your potential. You need to heal this. You need to fix that. You're like, dude, just sometimes leave me alone. You know, sometimes I just want to relax. I just don't want to do anything. Like, screw potential. So I think everything is situational, Eric. And I think ultimately you want to be exploring your potential as much as you can. And I think sometimes you just want to rest. And I think you and I are so ambitious in developing more of ourselves. And I think maybe sometimes too impatient in developing that. And off air, we speak about this impatience quite often. But I think it's situational, bro. And you know, I think you're right. And I think she's right. And I think some days I'll catch you in the week and you'll also say that. And then other days in the week, you'll be like, no, I'm not like that, you know?
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I just, I wouldn't ever phrase it like that. I don't think you should, you know.
So that was the other one
because
see, that one's also passionate.
Screw your potential.
You got people who are not watching this on YouTube. If you're listening to this on, you can't see Eric's face. He's like getting into it. These last two have been hardcore, close to his heart. Yeah. Okay.
All right. So three more to go quickly. One is, I've just been toying with this idea that every team should assign a team rudder. And a team rudder is just someone who is steering the team for the week. So, you know, in the old days, you would always have the team leader kind of responsible for everything from accountability to feedback. But what we see, obviously, is as we move into a more collaborative society, is that you are accountable in your team to everyone all the time at any time. And so what that also means is that anyone at any point can take some accountability or take the responsibility, rather, for steering the team in the direction of where the team wants to go. Meaning that for that week, you are the one reminding the team of the team operating system, of the values, the beliefs, the behaviors that we are trying to change. And then we switch it up every single week so someone has responsibility for making sure the team does what it should do at a team level and not just at a task level. So that's just something to think about for people from a team point of view. Because otherwise, you know, what happens is if no one takes the lead, and it can't always just be the formal team leader, then like nothing happens, and unfortunately, team change is quite a difficult thing.
It's almost like a culture coach. It's almost like somebody who's like keeps reminding you about the directive or the tonality that's required for where we're going. You know, I walked into an office the other day, and they had their five values up on the wall, and it irritated me so much. What were they, Eric? Guess. Like, let's guess. Innovative, integrity. Respect. Oh, yeah. And I just thought to myself, what a waste of time. And I thought to myself, what would be better to put up there? And do you know what would be better? One sentence. One sentence that says, and I was thinking about this, like the sentence is, we 100% focus on giving a customer an unbelievable experience and respecting our co-colleagues. Our colleagues, whatever. Okay. That's it. Like, forget about everything else. Integrity, schmintegrity, flippin' whatever. Like, nobody practices it.
Yeah.
But just one sentence. Like, and I think that always we find ourselves in that one sentence. So even with the team, the tonality of the team, one sentence. And I remember saying this in my restaurants. It's like, are we focused on the customer having an unbelievable experience? No. Okay. Then why are you wasting my time? Like, whatever you're talking to me about, frame it to me in how the customer is going to have a better time. You standing there talking to your other waiter, is that helping the customer? No. Okay. Are the lights too bright? Is that helping the customer? No. Okay. Just bring it down to one sentence. Because ultimately, every business has to do one sentence. And so, for me, that team rudder, if it's got already five values that it has to be driving, you've lost already before you've even started. Yeah, yeah. So I would add to that, simplify the message and then have one rudder that everybody always has to follow through.
Yeah, I like that. All right, next one. So this is just a quick quote. My favorite musical that I watch like over and over again is The Greatest Showman. Have you watched it?
Okay. Yes, of course I have. It's so good.
Yeah. Jeez, I keep coming back to it. It's phenomenal. And
yeah, it's so good.
I mean, I love the songs. But anyway, there's a quote from the movie that I was just listening to and it just caught my attention. It said, "A man's station in life is limited only by his imagination."
Yeah, that movie's profound, bro.
Great, eh? Sure.
That incredible movie, I cried, man. I cried in that movie a couple of times, actually. It's so deep and so like, and I love him. What's his name? Wolverine.
Hugh Jackman. Yeah.
Oh, dude, he's fantastic, dude.
So good.
He's just got so much great energy. He's just so open. And even when you watch him, and you watch them in interviews, it's just so bigger than life, you know? And it's amazing. You know, the more of these interviews I watch with these actors that have made it big, it's no mistake they've made it big, you know? They like McConaughey, what's his name? Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah, just, Matthew McConaughey, yeah.
The guy's deep. Deep. He's thought about things in deep ways. Tom Cruise, what's his name from, he was with Limitless. What was his name? That guy, good looking guy.
Bradley Cooper.
Oh, jeez. The guy is next level human, dude. I mean, he's like human 2.0, that guy. And then so is Hugh Jackman. These guys are unbelievable, you know. Meryl Streep, you listen to an interview with her. Those people have gone deep. So much respect to them. Yeah, thank you for that. Imagination is limited. What? Your
man's station in life is limited only by his imagination.
Yes, very good. I like that.
Yeah, and then the last one is just a marketing trope, I guess, that I picked up in the week. And I can't remember who said it, but they just said, instead of marketing more, you should matter more. And I thought that was really good.
Oof. Jeez, that is so profound, that, because I often think when people are marketing things and pushing things online, and I think to myself, jeez, but you could do a lot more work just actually sharing something profound to change my life rather than telling me about your program. And I was watching this this TikTok about somebody saying, you know, the old way of marketing was telling people the sort of 5 points of what they would get from working with you, to now it's giving you the 5 points, giving you so much value that people just want to jump on and keep giving you money. So it's a much more abundant and open way of marketing, rather than, like, you know, that ridiculous, that those conferences where they have all those people come on for 5 minutes to tell you how amazing their programs are and that you must sign up. That bothers me so much, you know, so much. So I think this is exactly it, is instead of marketing, matter. Like, matter more.
More.
I love that.
You know, I also, you've seen these TikTok dances where the people go like, they'll have some music playing in the background, and then they'll go like, the 5 things you should do for whatever, you know, to be a better leader or whatever. And then they'll like point to the screen and there'll be like these 5 things that jump up, right?
Yes.
And I thought about that in this context. And I was like, well, actually, like, do you think anyone is going to change or do anything differently because of what they just saw there? Like, it's so superficial. It's actually just for you to like look cute on camera. Yeah, it actually has nothing to do with mattering more. Like, but I think you've actually been nailing this on the head recently. That's why some of your videos have been doing so well, because I think the message you've been delivering matters a lot to the people consuming it, but I can say it also matters a lot to you. And so the way that it's been delivered portrays that, you know, and I think therefore it's connecting to people. And
yeah, right.
I think, and I think what Twitter does, or what TikTok does, is it perpetuates market more, quicker videos, 10 second videos, quick, 3 a day, like 3 times 5, 15 videos a week, like, you know, just be in people's face more. Instead of just slowing down and like just matter more to the person, like just connect to them at the level that they need to be connected at.
That's so profound, Eric, you know, quality over quantity. And social media forces us for quantity because of they just want more numbers and more money and all that. And this is really just about, so look, as somebody with a video with 412,000 views, I just want to say, no, I'm kidding.
I kind of figured you'd find a way to work that into the conversation.
No, who's got 400? What? What's the other one? 112? No, jeez. Shh, guys, come on. Shh. Be humble.
How many keynotes did you end up booking off that 412,000 views?
I don't know. You never know where these bookings come from. You know who saw what where. I have no idea. Anyway, cool, brother. That was wonderful. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for sharing that wisdom and profound sort of lessons. Thank you to everybody for tuning in to the Expansive Podcast again. Like we said, we do this once a week, always sharing the latest, greatest things to do to become more expansive in your life. We hope that you enjoy the rest of the week, and we will tap into you again at the end of this week. If you enjoyed this podcast, please do share it with somebody that you think might benefit from hearing it. And also, if you haven't left us a review, please go over to iTunes or to Spotify and leave us a 5-star review. It would be really appreciated. Ciao.
Goodbye.